I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Our current president has failed in his most basic duty to the nation. He's failed to protect us. He's failed to protect America. And my fellow Americans, that is unforgivable. As president, I'll make you a promise. I'll protect America. I will defend us from every attack, seen and unseen, without exception, every time.
Paid for by Biden for president.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We are back, back in the building. Haven't left the building, but still, you know what I mean? Still out here, still thriving in this quarantine. Cats is getting older in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Happy birthday. Happy belated. Well, I called you on your birthday, so, but you know, but happy birthday. You done had a birthday in the midst of the COVIDs. How was it, man? How you doing? First of all, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm home in New York, which feels really good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, to be away in stretches and then come home feels really good. And then to come home and it's your birthday, that's even better because, you know, now everybody got a reason and an excuse to, you know, take care of you and, you know, do things for you. So that's actually beautiful. You know what I'm saying? So to go from almost quarantine in Atlanta alone to coming home to, you know, a party, that's a good thing. You know what I mean? So that felt really good. It was my birthday. You know what I'm saying? Quarantine birthday is different because, you know, people are throwing parties and shit, but it's very virtual, which you know what I'm saying, led to a different kind of experience, you know what I'm saying, yesterday when it was my birthday, because usually, you know, on the birthday, you get the typical Facebook, you know what I'm saying, happy birthdays because everybody sees your birthday on Facebook and shit, right? And then what happens on Instagram, they might see somebody else post that it's your birthday, or you may repost a happy birthday post and then not everybody knows. But it was more than usual. You know what I'm saying? Usually, you know, it's a few here and there, you know what I'm saying, some of your player partners and, you know what I'm saying, a few close friends. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But this time it's a little more widespread, you know what I'm saying? It brought out, you know what I'm saying, some people that I hadn't seen or talked to in a minute. So that was cool, interesting, you know, starting up dialogues with people that, you know, you hadn't had dialogue with in a minute. So that felt really good, you know what I'm saying? And then sometimes, like, even though you don't talk to some people all the time, it's good to see their face and good to, you know what I'm saying, good to chit-chat with them, you know what I'm saying? Like, they not your everyday people, but it's like those people that are like, oh, shit, they was good, you know what I'm saying? I remember, yeah, they were good motherfuckers right there, you know what I'm saying? So that felt good. That felt refreshing, you know what I'm saying? And so... What'd you say?
Nah, go ahead. Keep going.
You know what I'm saying? To be going back and forth with different people that you actually, you know what I'm saying, have spent time with before in life, and now in this era, in this age, you come back around and kick it. It's kind of, it was refreshing. Plus, of course, talking to your everyday folks, of course, and, you know, getting celebrated is always good.
Nah, that's what's up. That's a good look. Yeah. It's funny, you know, you're just saying you hear from people that you haven't heard from in a while or whatever. Speaking of unexpected birthday calls, I don't know if you saw this this video where, you know, Lisa Ray, Vivica Fox, Claudia Jordan, and Selena, what's Selena's last name? Damn, I don't know her name. You know, Selena, y'all know Selena, the singer. Selena Johnson. They got a show together. I think it's called Cocktails with the Queens or whatever. And, you know, the Brat and Lisa Ray are sisters. So
everybody acts surprised every year when that comes out.
Right, right. It's one of those. But you know, there are those surprise sisters that people don't always, you know, put together. The Brat Lisa Ray being one of them. Nia Long and Samore being one of them. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple of them. But anyway, they brought the Brat in. And I guess the Brat hasn't spoken to Lisa Ray in a while. So it was very unexpected. Did you see the clip?
Yeah, I saw it. She cussed everybody the fuck out.
Oh, man, she went in that shit. She went all the way Chicago. That shit was crazy. And you rarely ever see Brat mumsed up. You know what I mean? She was real.
It looked to me that she knew what it was. She tried to play victimized, but she knew that she had been, that it was some shady shit going down. Not that it was shady that they hadn't talked, but to haven't talked and then come in and be like, happy birthday, sis. Like, come on, now. Don't act like, you know what I'm saying? You ain't been egging me for the last however long.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. She knew she was skating on thin ice. There's a little thin ice out there.
For Lisa Ray to jump out there the way she did, she must have felt offended about something. You know what I'm saying? If she just went off like that just cause you ain't talked to her in a minute, she must have called and you ain't responded, you ain't answered the motherfucking text, that type shit. But, you know, family shit is family shit. You know what I'm saying? That shit get personal.
It was a moment. It was a moment. It was very funny, man. It was one of those. It was definitely one of those big sister curse outs. It made me realize, I hadn't realized before, Lisa Ray looked heavy-handed. You know what I mean? Looked like, you know, Brat know how to throw them hands, but it looked like Lisa Ray is heavy-handed. Like, the way, yeah. You could see it in some of her gestures, cause how she was trying to compose herself. I was like, oh, shit, all right.
It's like Lisa Ray, you know, friend, south side of Chicago, whatever side of Chicago, from Chicago, and you know, they daddy was like a hood legend type of dude. You know what I'm saying? And so she was a hood princess. So that ain't no easy ass position to hold if you ain't got no hands. You know what I'm saying? Because motherfuckers will try you. You already cute, got a little figure. Niggas is up on you. Your daddy's popping. You know what I'm saying? All that is cause for getting tried at some point. And it looks she never looked like she couldn't handle her own. And in her early days, when she was, you know what I'm saying, young and out here and fucking, she was down in Miami fucking with some of them Miami cats and shit. And she knew how to handle them niggas too. You know what I'm saying? She knew how to handle heavy-handed ass, rough around the edges ass niggas. So she, you know what I'm saying? She know what it is, man. And I put my money on them hands if I had to.
Yeah. I always got appreciation for pretty girls with hands. You know what I mean? Not that it's a beautiful, ever since Wonder Woman. But, dead ass. Like, just growing up, you would always see, because to that point where you're a pretty girl, you go get tried, and it's the ultimate plot twist. You know what I mean? Like, especially like a pretty, like demure girl, like real quiet, you know, keep to herself, do a homework, be, you know what I'm saying? Don't really do a whole lot. And then they like, there's a little bit of bullying going on, and then it turns into an after school moment. And then, oh shit, this is way different than what we expected. It's one of the best. It's one of the best.
It is. And see, I grew up where there was a lot of hands thrown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On both sides of my family. But on my mother's side of the family, there were a lot of female hand throwing, a lot of heavy hands. And, you know, my aunt Charisse, you know, she known the whooping dude. You know what I'm saying? She put her own husband in the hospital with, you know, he tried to put his hands on her. You know what I'm saying? So that was already established. Nobody ain't really even fuck with her. You know what I'm saying? Then my sister, she had the heavy hand. She was known for the fight. That's her whole MO. Like, that's her thing is the fight. But then I had a cousin, Desiree, who was a year older than me, so she was a little younger than all of the rest of them. And like you said, Dez, she was the type of person that mind her own shit, very smart in the classes, you know what I'm saying? All A's, always kept a job, very responsible, cute in the face, you know what I'm saying? Kept her hair done real good. But she had them hands. And she, being the youngest out of that bunch, she had a whole lot to prove. And you know what I'm saying? It was a sad day because, like we would all converge at my grandma's house in Brown Sub. And so that's where we was on the weekends. Dez was from Coconut Grove, you know. So when we all come in Brown Sub, you know, the Brown Sub people don't know you. You know what I'm saying? They don't know what to expect. And, you know, so they figured, you know what I'm saying, okay, she cute, blah, 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 you know, we gonna fuck with her. I don't know why, because it's like 13 people in this house. Like, it's always gonna be a problem. And, yeah, and it happened. And she went out there and dusted them motherfuckers up. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. Because I wasn't necessarily no fighter, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I held my own. I fought when I had to, but I wasn't known to be, I'm gonna throw some hands. Actually, by motherfucking seventh grade, I learned how not to fight. You know what I'm saying? And so, but to watch them, they were very much about that fight game. Women, and they did not play no games. And I thought that was, like you said, it was always the ultimate plot twist.
Yeah,
when your nigga out there get beat up by some girls, because that's what was going down. It was wild, banshees like.
Man, I remember this one time. I forget. I'm gonna kind of withhold names, right? It's, you know, it was a moment, but we was on a field trip. We went to the Statue of Liberty, and it's one cat, let's call him Steve. He grabbed this other girl, let's call her Cheryl, right? These are fake names. So Steve, we all like, you know how at the beginning of the class trip, everybody's kind of in the lobby of whatever, the Statue of Liberty, whatever. You know, everybody getting counted up, make sure, blah, 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 we're about to do this, we're going to do this. We might even been able to explore it alone, as long as we knew to come back by this spot, by this time type shit, right? And, you know, back in the days, you know, when boys and girls used to flirt, there'd be a little bit of hitting and, you know what I'm saying, pushing and whatever, whatever. So it's a little bit of that, but then I think Steve went a little too far. He squeezed Cheryl's ass like, aha! Like, I guess dumb hard.
A little sexual harassment in there.
Yeah. It was over the line. Squeezed the ass, and she righted that wrong immediately. She smacked this nigga so hard that we in the belt, like, we in the bottom of the Statue of Liberty. We're like in a big foyer. So the foyer got acoustics. So that, it sounded like a gunshot. Like, it was official. It was effective, and it was loud, and it, you know, it put his face on fire. You know what I mean? His cheek was on fire, but more so than that, his ego was destroyed. You know, he was terrible with it. He was tight. He had to suppress a couple tears because it was one of those slaps that, like, it shakes the tear ducts to where they involuntarily just kind of vomit a little bit of saline. You know what I mean? So we had a couple drops coming down. So it looked terrible. He's crying. It was terrible. It looked like they was about to fight and people broke it up, you know, cause it was a boy and a girl. Chill, you know, that type of shit. Everybody like, chill, you know, you was in the wrong, whatever, whatever.
That mean he already lost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was the fight. The fight was that the slap heard around the damn Statue of Liberty.
So check it though. So we explored the whole Statue of Liberty for about 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, maybe even longer than that. It's time for everybody to line up and get back, you know, get back, go on the bus, get back to, you know, get back to school or whatever. It's the end of the field trip. We done forgot all about, you know, what had happened. You know what I'm saying? This was hours ago. Steve did not. So Steve come and try to rush Cheryl. And Cheryl weaved this shit and then started, like, she's fighting on the back foot because he's rushing her. She is tagging this cat, like, I mean, effortlessly in his face. Bing, bing. It went from slaps to full-on close fists. Bing, 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 bing. It was so beautiful to see. I was like, yeah. Oh, man. It's one of the best. I swear those plot twists, and there's been a few. You know, I grew up around a lot of fights, a lot of violence, so you've seen it quite a few times, and it's always refreshing, especially when the plot twist is in effect. But, I mean, it was something. It was so crazy because, you know, you're in the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, so it's not just our school. It's a bunch of other schools watching it. It was the MGM. It was a fight. It was like, oh, it was, yeah.
And you don't want to really get where, you know, like one of them fighting girls that could really fight, and that, mm-hmm. that spirit of whatever that spirit is when they can't be stopped.
Yeah.
You don't really want that. That's that. You can't fight that. You know what I'm saying? Like, dudes don't fight. Like, dudes don't unleash every will of their spirit on your ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a different type of rage.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. You don't want that, man. That shit is coming at you fast. Like you said, she was on the back of her heels throwing them hands.
Crazy.
It's like, you seen that video. It was viral sometime last year. And it was a girl in a pink sweater. One of them old heavy-handed ass girls. And I don't know what had happened, but when the video came in, she was on her heels backing up.
Right.
And she was getting rushed by two or three people. And she grabbed one of them and walloped. I mean, she had unleashed all of the spirit of the ancestors of slavery, the slave Atlantic trade. You know what I'm saying? She unleashed the whole shit. It's because it's like white kids. It's like a bunch of white boys and girls, and they just coming. They all coming towards, and she grabbed one, and it's wham, wham. Then the next one come up, and it's a roundhouse, boom. And you know what I'm saying? So she like cleared the whole shit out with one hand because she had her other hand holding the motherfucker who she had in the choke, in the vice grip. So she's walloping these motherfuckers, backing up on her back feet. And I was like, good God almighty. She did that.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's like, it's violence. Nobody wants to, you know, support violence or whatever, whatever. But sometimes it is a beauty in a good ass whooping. Because that's, I guess, I don't know. That's just what we've been around. That's what we've seen. Mm-hmm. But that was a thing of beauty. Because you could see it was just her. And then, and she was whooping their ass up off of her.
The spirit of Ogun, as they say, you know, that's what
spirit of who?
They say. Ogun, O-G-U-N. It's like a Nigerian warrior. It's like a warrior spirit. I see that a lot on the Twitter. But what was I going to say, man?
Whoever Ogun is, boy, that's a hell of a spirit.
Yeah, man. Sometimes an ass whooping is so convincing and so dynamic that, you know, back then it didn't exist, but it's one of them ass whoopings that kind of stay on your Wikipedia page. You know what I'm saying? Like forever. You know how, especially when you're young back in the days, like every time you kick it and you think it's all good, somebody be like, nah, but remember that one time you got your ass whipped? That, you know, it could have been 4, 5, 10 years ago, but that one time, that's a permanent asterisk. Oh, shit. But yeah, man. Back to more lighter things. How was your birthday? How did you celebrate it? I know you got a lot of love, you know, on the social medias and all of that. But what was the homecoming like? What was
real life is not as exciting as, you know what I'm saying, you know, your love you get in the world. But very simply, I was just happy to be home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to be home, and you know what I'm saying, everybody was happy to see you, you know. My wife is you know, cooking breakfast and, you know what I'm saying, doing all the little birthday shit. And then, you know, they done came together and put their heads together to get you a thoughtful gift. And, you know what I'm saying? That's really all I did, was just sit back and absorb all of that love. We went out to eat on the outdoor, you know what I'm saying, restaurant tip. And You know what I'm saying? It was real. It was peace. You know what I'm saying? Real cool, calm birthday. You know what I mean? And I was happy about that. I didn't want it to be nothing else. I ain't wanted to be no extra shit because it wasn't no extra shit to be doing. So I was good. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, only thing that I did that was extra is I said that I was going to do something nice for myself that I wanted to do.
Right. You teased that last episode. What happened? Drum roll.
So, I mean, ain't no real drum roll to it. I just made myself a purchase that I wouldn't have never purchased on my own in no regular day. But I say, hey, man, let me do something for me that I want to do. And in lieu of me not having enough money to buy myself a Rolex, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I went ahead and made another luxury purchase for myself, you know what I'm saying? Got me a nice little luxury backpack for the, you know what I'm saying, for the jump on the plane moment. And, you know what I mean? The cat behind me in the elevator moment, you know, that, the you know, that type of deal, you know.
Stun on him.
But it's a light stunt. It ain't the heavy Gucci print stunt. It ain't the heavy, the LV bag stunt, but it's in the family. But it's like, okay, if you see it, you're like, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? With a little wink. It's a little wink stunt. You know what I'm saying?
Luxury. I could dig it.
You know what I'm saying? Lamb skin, Saint Laurent backpack, you know what I'm saying? Ooh. For the good little travel move, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Easy TSA on that conveyor belt now. Don't fuck that up. Don't scrape
my shit. Yeah, easy. You know what I'm saying? But you know, it got the pre-check, you know what I'm saying? So they're a little easy on you.
Okay. Hands off.
A little hands off, you know what I mean? So I did that just for myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I said, it's some shit that I wouldn't normally do. It's some shit I probably won't do in another till next year sometime. So, you know, something you put into the little fund. All right, I'm going to treat myself nice on my birthday, right, type of tip.
How'd that feel, though?
It felt great because it's like once you start putting together your situation, and then you can't always last minute just go do some shit. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to plan some shit out. You got to sacrifice some shit to have the things. And then over time, after you've done treated yourself nice over a few years, you have a bunch of little things that you can look to. You be like, okay, I'm pretty legit out here. You know what I'm saying? And so, right, this is just a first step. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not the biggest shit ever, but it's big for me. You know what I mean?
There you go.
And I had the backpack that was kind of getting a little tattered. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you can feel it when you get on the plane with the tattered, you know what I'm saying, backpack. You can feel judged. You know what I'm saying? And then you sit next to the dude who come in, ain't got the Louis checkbox backpack or the, you know what I mean? They, you know.
Right.
And you're like, okay.
You're looking like a fugitive.
And you see how, you know what I'm saying? And it ain't nothing, ain't no extra shit, because actually the backpack that I like, and I felt like would be real cool is an Everlane, which is a $70 backpack. You know what I'm saying? But it's smooth and I like it. You know what I'm saying? That's like the everyday, like, okay, I like that. But you know, right, what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to do it for the people on the side and in the back. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do it for the VIPs. You know what I mean? Let them know that you understand what's happening out in the world. You know what I'm saying? You ain't of it, but shit, you know what it is.
You in the world. You participating. You know what I mean? You know.
It's levels. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could dig it.
And it's like sometimes you gotta, you know, you can't go all the way. Like me, I ain't got it to go all the way or no shit like that. But
okay,
I got it enough to say I understand. And shit, I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? I got my hand in the game. And that's all I need. You know what I mean? For motherfuckers, right, to know, okay, I see. All I thrive for is the I see you, OG. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I see you, OG. Okay.
Yeah. They see it. They know it. They acknowledge it. Nah, I dig it. You know, that's a moment in itself. The the airplane pre-flight, like the when you're getting yourself together, when you, you know, you're taking out your whatever your doodads and knickknacks, whatever you're gonna need for the flight, and you put in your bag above the, you know, in your above, what do you call it, the overhead compartment. When you can do it real smooth, when it look real organized, it comes out with one, like you've been doing this for a while, you don't appear frazzled. Because that's also, you know, airplane, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of nerves, you know what I mean? A lot of, you might be late for your flight, so when you just hustling on, you broke a sweat, and you're just rustling through your bag, you damn, if you still got a wired headphone, it's kind of stuck under the book and all of that, that looks very, you haven't been here before, but when you the one that just know how to smooth out, zoom, zoom, put the thing up, boom, it just sits right. It's a different, you know, like those people that wear a blazer on the plane, they know how to do the fold. Or if we're going to go way back in the day when people used to, you know, read newspapers, I was always impressed by the cat that knew how to keep his newspaper like a nice, the fold was smooth and crisp. That shit is amazing to me. That is something. So, yeah, man, it's a lot of airplane choreography, and if you're good with that.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of it is just organization. You know what I'm saying? You really show your organizational skills on your travel. You know what I'm saying? People who got all the little things that they need for their traveling needs, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's organized, you know. Whoop, whoop, got time, put my little thing on my neck. Got my little shit for my phone, and my passport is in the right shit. Well, I just flip it out to the page, put it back. You know what I'm saying? That's the shit you got to think about when you're moving. Not just in travel, just in your life. Like, and a lot of times you skip over that because you just get into, let me get to where I got to go. I ain't really, you know what I'm saying? None of that shit don't mean nothing. But when you actually think out all the little shit that you got to do, and you put the little things in place that make doing those things easier, then life is easier. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you go in the motherfucking shit, you just had your ID at the counter to check in. Then you get to the TSA, now you fucking fumbling with your pockets trying to find your ID and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you supposed to know where that shit at. You know, that's why the dude in the blazer, that's why it's easy to travel in the blazer, because you put that shit right in your little your little pocket right there up top. Rib cage pocket.
And it lay right, though. It lay right. It's not a bump. It's right. Not like a, you know, it's not a swollen heart. It lays nice.
Yeah, you got your passport thing right there, laid right flat.
Right.
There you go. Right. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got all that shit and all in your pockets. You got your keys and change and all that shit. You done made sure all of those things are in the right compartments, in the right places, and you moving along. And that ain't even no extra shit. That's just organization. Now, when you take your organization and put a little extra on your organization, you pull out your shit and this is, you got the Goyard passport shit, da da da. Then it's like, oh, this motherfucker do this and this nigga stunt. I see you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Little flourish.
Yeah, you flourish with it. And you know, I want to organize my whole self. And so these are steps that a nigga is taking to get himself to where you're organized, you got your thing, and then you could let him know just a little something about yourself. Hey, I'm organized, and then I'm doing my thing. I do this. I belong in this motherfucking space, and I got a little taste on your eye. Look at that. Bling. That's all.
I struggle with organization. You know, I strive for organization. I see the ideal. I respect it and I want it. And there's moments when I do feel organized. There's moments where I feel like, whew, but it don't always last long. You know what I mean? There's moments where my shit is in flux. There's moments when, you know, we on our way to being organized. But at the moment, there's a method to the madness.
That's the
justification.
Right. I get that because I'm that same way. But there are like these little short spurts that you can control. I can control how I go to the airport. You know what I'm saying? I can control how I get on the plane. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying that shit finna last all month. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that my kitchen counter ain't finna have a bunch of shit on it. You know what I mean? But you in those moments that you can control, you do. So getting on the plane, you know what I'm saying? You get off the plane, getting to your destination, you know what I mean? You're going to a meeting. You know what I mean? You got to control the moments that you can. Your presentation in your meeting. All of those things you want to have game tight. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was always doing my head, you know what I'm saying? You come in shit, it's all clean and shit, but then you go in the room, that shit is like, God damn, nigga, what happened in here? You know what I'm saying? Because everybody need the junk draw. You know what I'm saying? One place where this shit, fuck it, you know? This ain't going to be organized, fuck it, and I'm okay with that. But I could close it and you won't see it.
Right, you don't even know what's going on there. Boom, boom, that chill. Chill. So that's what's up. That's good to hear, though, man. Good to hear that you treated yourself for your birthday, man. That's what's up. What else is going on, dude? Speaking of, I know I was saying airplane choreography. Speaking of choreography, I don't know if you've seen this, but what's my man, Cornell? What's Nelly's last name? Nelly.
You gonna do his government?
I was going to do his government, but I don't know his full last name. But Nelly has been putting heels on Jordans. He's done two models now. He put a heel. He's on Dancing with the Stars, and he you know, I guess in a way to have Cornell Haynes Jr. in a way to have what's the word? That's gonna be a segment. I don't know. I think I'm
this is authorized Dancing with the Stars shoe.
Yeah, have an authorized shoe. Have a authorized performance shoe. There's certain things that needs to be a standard to your dancing shoe, and I guess you need to have a heel. Now I'm not sure for every dance you need to have a heel, but he kind of unboxed his first a cheat code. Like he kind of cracked this box open. Like he was beating the system. He was like, yo, it was on Instagram. He was like, yo, you know, I want to do my thing, but they feel like I got to have a dance shoe. So this is what I hit them with. And he pulls out a fucking Air Jordan Black Cement 3 with a heel on that bitch. Like with a penny loafer heel. I was like,
a little bigger than the penny loafer.
It was a little chunky heel on the back of that shit. And I was like, nah, Nelly. Nah, bro, don't do that. But I understand what you're trying to do. I've never liked a fusion anyway in any none of the Jordans. Like when they do the little Jordan, half Air Force One type of thing. Like I like the integrity of it all.
Did you like the Spizikes?
Some of them. Not all of them. I'm going to be honest with you. Not all of them. No. Some of the earlier ones, because it was different and it felt like it was made for Spike. So it kind of got the nod because of the relationship. Yeah, it was all Jordan pieces, you know. But my man Nelly, he said, I'm going to put a heel on the back of this joint. And I wasn't really there for that. I was like, damn, now I don't know if I don't know if that really did what it needed to do, but I understand your outlaw attitude. So then I think yesterday I see he put a heel on a good Jordan 11. And this got to stop, man. I couldn't be a judge because I'm not even going to pay attention to none of that shit. I'm going to vote you out just off the strength of that. Like, yo, hold on, fam. That waltz he did was cool, but what's going on here with this 11 with a chunky heel on the back of an 11? We can't tolerate this. But anyway, man, pray for Nelly, man. You know, it's one of those things, man. Shit. What else is going on, man?
Have you ever heard of this app called Clubhouse?
Oh, I did hear about it. Yes, I heard about it. It's kind of like the Soho House for the internet. Is that what we're talking about?
I guess it's kind of like that. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I guess it's kind of like, you know, a Soho house for the internet for right now.
Or upscale Skillshare, something like that.
It's like a chat room, but it's everybody on their phones talking. It's not typing, it's talking. And you know, you go in and people are talking about these different things, and you could click in and see what the fuck people are talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I might be thinking of something different.
No, it's this.
But go ahead.
You think about the right
shit. Okay.
It's just that if you've never been in there, you don't really know what it is, but it's kind of like it's like a chat room, but people talking, like actively talking on their phones and shit. And so, you know, I got invited to this shit last week, and I had never heard of this shit. Motherfucker sent me a link, and then I got like a random link said such and such invited you to come into the clubhouse. I'm like, man, I don't know what the fuck this is. And then, so I hit such and such, and I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, nah, motherfucker, just get in here and see what the fuck it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, then. So I come in this shit. I'm trying to sign up and do my shit, and then somebody else called me on the phone, like, yo, they having your welcome party. You got to get in here. I'm like, what the fuck? I ain't even put up a profile picture yet. So I go into the little welcome party, and everybody's like, hey, welcome to the clubhouse, and this is how you do it, and if you look over here to your right, you can go down, and you can go into different rooms, and you can, if you want to start a subject, you just start a subject and set a time, and then people come in, and y'all just start talking. If you want to just lay back and be in the audience, you do that. If you want to come in, you just raise your hand, and then they'll put you into on the panel, basically, and you can talk. I'm like, okay, this is cool. But the coolest shit is that it's a lot of good name people that's like doing shit. It's like real people doing real shit. It's like, okay, this shit is popping in here. So, you know, but you gotta take time to sit around and click through it and be up in there. And so I set it to, you know, send me the alerts to what's going on. Which, you know, so every day, you know, to send you, hey, such and such in this room talking about Blase Skip. And you're like, damn, okay, but I ain't got time to go in there now. So last night I had the time. Got a little alert. This person, that person, third day in the room talking about underrated, overrated. I don't know what that means. I click in. Get in there. It's a woman talking about giving head. I'm like, what the fuck? What did I just like? Cause you don't get no introduction. You just fall right in wherever they at. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? And I gave this motherfucker head as a motherfucking gift. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, what the fuck?
And this is all text.
No, this is talk. People talking. It's like audio.
Like a party line.
Yeah, it's like a party line. It's like talk radio itself for you get to interact.
Got it. Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So you come in midstream, they talking about, she talking about giving head as a gift, and this nigga don't understand that, you know what I'm saying, what the fuck she just gave him. You know what I'm saying? So then he like, well, you know, I don't really do that type of thing. Now she pissed. You know what I'm saying? Then you got all the other women chiming in. Then you got the dudes like, you know what I'm saying, like they laughing and shit. That's what's going on. And this one motherfucker, after she said that she gave the motherfucker head, and you know what I'm saying, and it's like, I don't do this with everybody, you know what I'm saying, because he don't understand, da-da-da-da-da. She was like, just like I could sway the energy in the room for a meeting, I could sway the energy of your life. I'm like, well, god damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? That's a hell of a confidence. That's a hell of some hell of a head, man. I ain't never had no head like that to sway my whole life. But you know what I'm saying? So I was like, what the fuck have I just walked into? But you know what I'm saying? So I clicked out of that room.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Because what really happened was I had my AirPods in, and then they were dying. So I had to take them out and put them back in the case. But then the shit started coming out loud over my phone. And then my wife was like, nigga, what is you listening to? I'm like, oh shit, god damn, I'm trying to turn shit off and I can't find the app. The shit is just motherfuckers just running their mouth. Motherfuckers and nigga don't appreciate. And then I finally got the app clicked off. And so then I had to explain to her what this the fuck the whole app was, which was crazy. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
That's
But other than, you know what I'm saying? But it's a tripped out platform because you got real people like that's doing real shit, like people you want to be connected to in here talking regular talk. You know what I'm saying? Like you got rooms where it's just black CEOs and you got rooms where it's, you know what I'm saying, you know, talking about film, talking about science fiction, you know, the nerds are going nerd, all that kind of shit. So,
right.
But it's interesting that it's a you know, a VC platform, which means it's, you know, it's white, right, white platform, but it's kind of fronted by black influencers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know how we over index on shit. We get into some, right, shit. We just turn that shit all the way out. And it seems like we doing it again. And in the end, it's going to be somebody, right, profiting off of, right, us coming in here.
Making it
talking out.
Sound like 08 Twitter.
Be. Yeah, 08 Twitter. Oh, you know what I'm saying? It's all that. It's like, damn. But it's very interesting up in there, though. As you come across some interesting crazy.
Speaking of head that sway the room, I saw online, it was it's funny that the anniversaries that people be finding, that people post about, but there was a video that came out of Superhead giving Mr. Marcus, who's a professional porn star, some head, and that shit rock this nigga. Like, she, like, this nigga had to say, oh, chill. Like,
you talking about back in the day or right now?
A few years ago, but I guess, I don't know who designated this was the release date of it. Yeah, it was the anniversary.
Yeah, because that was from a long time ago. Yeah. I remember that.
That was from a while ago.
I remember seeing it. I remember seeing it.
And she earned that name, was well earned. You know what I mean? For her to be, you know what I mean? Like she defended a title. And it was just funny the fact that you know, talking about a head that could kind of sway your whole disposition, not only your whole disposition, but your physical disposition as well. Like, whoa, like that motherfucker, he had to compose himself. So, she was a beast.
But this lady is, and I'm gonna get a lady her props. I mean, her okay, proper credit. On the Twitter is Mir, so it's M-E-R-E-M-I-R, okay. Mir. And I guess her name is Mir Harris.
Should you be talking about this shit outside the clubhouse, or is this proper?
That's what I thought, but when I looked on Twitter and they was speaking of that same comment, she was like, nah, give me my props. I am who I am, wherever I'm at. So I feel like, you know what I'm saying, this is proper to actually give some credit. Cause she didn't say your disposition. She was like, "I could sway your life." No, I'm just saying if you allow a physical thing to move you in real life,
right?
And the power of a woman for real can sway your whole life when you run into the right woman and you start moving in the direction of locking it down and or, you know what I'm saying, doing things in her direction, it does sway your life for real. You know, but you know what I'm saying, you listen, I've been swayed for 20 something years.
There you go. Yeah.
But to hear it articulated with such passion.
Right.
It was convincing.
Right.
On Twitter, she comes back to say, I meant that shit. I said it with my chest and my wop. You know what I'm saying?
And a mouth.
You know what I'm saying?
And a mouth. First and foremost.
First and foremost. You know what I'm saying? She said it with a mouth and she meant that shit. Said it with a chest and her wop.
Right. Yeah.
That's confident talking. I need to incorporate that kind of, that strength in my presentation. You know what I'm saying? When I'm doing my business, I sway the room and the motherfucking bag. Okay?
Right.
That's what the fuck I do.
Yeah, you got to stand on it. I wasn't there, but the fact that the whole this was a gift. You know what I mean? Like, it's always a gift, but it's also like, if we in the realm of all of that, that's kind of like, that's part of the play. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, I can't even think of an analogy, but it kind of feels like, but yo, I bought you this. You know what I mean? Like,
it's kind of like what now?
It's kind of like, if you gonna get at that mouth love, right? If she gonna get at man some head or whatever. Now, obviously, you know, there should be some reciprocation. You would hope that you're at the point where some reciprocation. But I don't feel like it should be one of these situations where it's like, it's conditional. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hope going in that it's all love, but then don't have second thoughts about, like, you know, like, man, you know, I typically don't do this, da 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 da, I went out my way type shit like that. That energy is weird. That's just me. But again, I wasn't there, so I don't even feel like I'm in the right to even speak.
Everybody got their own private negotiations with all this
shit. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
right.
And sometimes, you know what I'm saying, that might not be what you do, might not be your thing, you know what I'm saying? And because somebody gave right. you one thing don't mean you got to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think in my philosophy, I think everybody should bring their best gifts to the table. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
sometimes they might not match up one for one. You know what I'm saying? You might take yeah. an L on that to get a gain on this. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I think this, that kind of discourse is always, you know, it's up for debate because you weren't there in the negotiation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So all of these things are like, you know, it's all these little details that matter, and they never come out in the conversation. The post game wrap up. You know what I'm saying? Like the little details never come out in the post game wrap up. So
that's true. Yeah, give with a given spirit.
Yeah, I mean you. Yeah. I see. Like I ain't even gonna take it all the way there. Like if you give, then give. You know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is that it all in the end for the whole shit to be a good transaction. Everybody need to feel appreciated, and everybody got to put in their best energy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you put in your best energy, then everything mm-hmm. else washes itself out. Ain't nobody having this conversation. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody talking about what didn't happen. Blah, blah, blah. Motherfuckers laying there with a motherfucker smile, and that's the goal.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You might not have time to reciprocate at that moment for that particular act, because you know what I'm saying, you giving your best shit. Because in the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, when it comes down to it, it's always been, it's like, shit, I need to go in and do my best shit. Ain't no time for real, no experimenting out the gate of moving into new directions
or rationing.
Right, or rationing. You can't ration. Like, I'm coming with my best shit out the gate, my best hand, goddammit. I'm playing all my spades, right. You know what I'm saying? All my shit,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so that it won't be this conversation.
Right, yeah, man. But salute to everybody involved in that situation. You know, hopefully they can get amends and get it back. And they could get a more fruitful transaction in the next go round. Hopefully. But what the fuck else is going on, dude? Shit. I guess we might as well talk about this power situation since we're getting into the realm of the sexual. Because this power, it was everybody was getting at everybody. It was a lot of. It was a lot of smashing in this latest episode of Power. I'm sure you saw it. You did see it, right? Okay. All right. Bet. Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you this, Okay. Well, go ahead. Let's talk about Power. What you think? Where you at with it? How you feeling about the show? what's this, the third episode in or fourth episode? Where we at? With the third week? What you thinking about the episode? What you thinking about what's going on with Power?
It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's the same old, you know, you got the, you know, the halfway acting, you know what I'm saying? Little shit, little here and there. But all that aside, you know what I'm saying? You jump in with, okay, let me check this shit out. I like what Tyreek going with his hustle game. You know what I'm saying? It's a little, you know, TV magic of how quick the shit popped off and all that shit. But that's all good. You know what I'm saying? I understand. All this shit been about 1 week since James St. Patrick got shot. But okay. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate his hustle and his ingenuity and how he using his team and all that shit. And but the thing I appreciate most is him coming into his own little swagger. You know what I'm saying? It's different than all the other street cats or even his father, but it's his own little thing. And you can see, you know how when your things start winning, you get that little, you know what I mean? The little confidence in your step across the board. How he talking to an old girl in his class, how he dealing with the Mary J. daughter, how he dealing with, you know what I'm saying, the son spying on him and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm liking how he's handling this business. Now, all of these little, like these little little side scripts that they throw in, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting kind of dizzy on how they moving this shit. Because now Stern got a husband, you know what I'm saying? But in the other one, he was getting divorced from his wife. So, you know what I'm saying? They never gave us no hints that Stern was gay, so that was like, oh, that's wild, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they've been giving us hints that Drew was, they was calling him soft, you know what I'm saying? But he fully, you know what I'm saying, got into his sexuality, you know what I'm saying? And then the trip shit was, I like how Mary J gave him the mama I know you gay speech, you know what I'm saying, without saying, I know you gay. You know what I'm saying? The black mama, listen, baby, I'm your mama. I got your back, whatever you're doing, but you make sure family come first, okay? All right, now.
Now, do you think he caught that? Because it was a moment where they cut to him in the shower. Okay, all right, I couldn't tell. I don't know if he caught it or if it went over his head.
No man, you know what I'm saying, can come between this family. He's like, what, huh? You know what I'm saying? He probably always knew, she always knew, and she probably always knew herself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I guess that was their way of writing it into a script that, you know what I'm saying, she probably already been knew how he, you know, he was gay. You know what I'm saying? This was just a little confirmation in her way of saying, baby, I don't love you no less. You know what I'm saying? But don't let that shit get in front of this business.
Fuck this money up. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was interesting how they, you know what I'm saying, how they interweaving some of these social dynamics of black culture, you know what I mean, and things like that. I think they need to work on their Spanish though.
Oh yeah, I didn't even catch that. What point were they trying to speak Spanish?
When they went to meet up with the crew that was on social media and shit.
And he called her puta
and shit. And she was like, what'd you say to me? And she was like, say it to my face.
She should have said, gay?
Yeah. Puta. And then he whooped his ass and then he was like, puta. I'm like, that don't sound Puerto Rican. Are they Puerto Rican or Dominican?
I think the kids might be half whatever Pops is. I don't know what Pops is. I don't know all of the inner workings, but Tejada sounds more Mexican, but I could be wrong. But I don't know. I mean, they're half of whatever their father is, but I don't know how long the father's been in the can. So I don't know how integrated into the culture they are. Mary seems to be black. You know what I'm saying?
Mary's black, but the Pops is something Spanish. Something either Dominican, Puerto Rican, Honduran, or you know, something Latinx.
Yeah. But he been in the joint, and I don't know how long, I don't know at what point, at what age, what age when he went in the joint. So that's my point. I don't know if he was there to help them with the proper pronunciation. You don't see any other, you know what I mean? No, there's no abuela, you know what I mean?
Right, ain't right. Nobody no abuela, just the uncle who came home snitching.
Yeah, got stomped out, you know what I mean? So yeah, there's that. I think, yeah, man, it's interesting. This episode is... To your point, it was definitely some TV magic. This cat got a whole study kit hooked up. Like, you know, like the production level on his shit is out of here. The coding took no time at all. This was all on a handshake. Yeah, Stern got a young husband out the blue who Tariq is just fine with doing high stakes narcotics, you know what I mean? Like, that shit seems a little... You just met this cat. First of all, Stern isn't the most trustworthy either, we're going to be honest, but I guess you know who. Maybe he got the drug dealer instincts. Maybe, right, you know, but
he knows Stern. I mean, just benefit of the doubt, Stern was doing business with Ghost. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They know what the fuck was going on with Ghost. You know what I'm saying? So he felt like he could play his hand too. Shit, I'm a motherfucking hustler.
I could see Stern, but this new cat who we don't even know, he fresh, he brand new. There wasn't even an email introduction. This is just a nigga at a desk saying, "Oh yeah, I'm Stern too. I'm young Stern. I'm Stern's new, you know what I mean? New man. It's all good. And let's keep this between us." So we already, not only do I'm dealing with you and I don't really know you, I trust you enough to kind of double cross the motherfucker that I do know. But you know, that's power. That's how it's going to be. You know what I mean? Tariq always got a lot of shit on his plate. I do like how he's moving with his options. You know what I mean? And flexing it. You know what I'm saying? Who that? That's options, ma. You know what I'm saying? See, you got your homie that, you know, the your pops and your moms, like, you know, the square, whomever with the sweater. But you know, I'm here too. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here trying to get this grant and I'm trying to get that box. So just know, you know what
I mean? But it looked like she wanted to get to the professor too.
She might have. I couldn't really call that because, well, when she brought in the come meet my parents look, That's what threw me, because if she really trying to give him some rhythm, they could have met on campus somewhere or at a coffee shop. But
it looked like he wasn't going to be. He looked like he was resistant. She played it. "I'm bringing you to my parents' house." And then he was like, you know, "Well, you got to invite the professor and another student for the optics." And then when Tariq was like, "You know, I'll come," she rolled her eyes and shit like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm not sure what she was trying to play, but it seemed like, shit, all the little students is on them. And we all knew them professors like that.
that's you know, that's indulgent, definitely. I don't know. I think that we're gonna find out. Cause it could have been also, cause the thing for optics, that was weird, because you're already there with the parents. They don't really, that's optics enough. You got your moms and your father at the table. That's optics out. You know what I mean? Now you got another kid there. I think she might have rolled her eyes because Tariq is not really in good favor or good standing with these teachers like that. Cotty Dodd likes him. She's probably the only one that's really rooting for him. You know, Duke Box, he don't really rock with her. You know, he kind of wishy-washy. And then Jerry Springer kind of same way with him. So, like, Tariq, he come in the class 10 minutes late every day. You know what I mean? So she like, "Damn, dude, I'm fucking with this mother. You fucking my whole shit up." So who knows? What else happened? Method Man and what, Paula? Is it Paula?
Yeah.
That surprised me a little bit. I shouldn't have been surprised, but it kind of surprised me.
That they was laying it down?
Yeah, that they was jumping off with each other. Because Paula is very, like, she's very stiff and very, like, above board, or at least it seemed like very reserved and not even reserved, repressed, kind of, like, you know, like, "I don't think we should be doing this." Like, that's her whole demeanor is like, "No, no, no." So for her to just be out here wilding a little bit, you know what I'm saying? "Yo, here go your wedding ring." You know what I'm saying? That kind of threw me off, but I'm not surprised. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody got to get it off. One thing, and we going back to tattoos. This nigga that Drew went back to the room with, this nigga, I ain't never seen niggas do vision board tattoos before. This nigga got shit that don't got nothing to do with his current life. He like, so when you know when I win the chip, I'm going to have the tattoo red. That's some J.R. Smith shit, because I think he did that. He had the trophy before he had the trophy. I was like, all right, fam. He had the Kobe Bryant number. He had 24. They like, is that your number? Nah, but you know one day that might be my nigga. What are you talking about? That shit was weird, but and then the white boy.
But where that nigga came from on the basketball team, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't on the team last week.
I don't think he's on the team. I think he's trying to get on the team. Again, I think these are all, this is the ambition. This is all what he's trying to do. He hoping that Drew read his chest and go tell Zeke to put a word in with the coach. But who knows? I don't know. The white boy, he's a, this is what I'm a little nervous about. I hope, and I did see, since we were talking about last week, how much kind of you kind of miss Ghost, you know, as far as him, you know, doing a lot of the heavy lifting with the acting. They definitely got Sax working overtime. Like, Sax is in damn near every other scene. And Sax is starting to get his peripheral peoples on. He got his niece coming through. That's going to be interesting. I hope Tariq is not sloppy and get caught slipping. You know what I'm saying? Like, but something's gonna happen, because he's, again, like I said last week, he's got a lot of shit on his plate. And, you know, so far he's been juggling pretty well. Again, he's coming to shit kind of late, but for the most part, he's still crossing his T's, dotting his I's. It ain't too much shit that's fucking up. You know what I mean? His homeboy, the white kid, he's a little reckless, because he don't really have, the stakes aren't that high for him. He's just, life's a party. You know what I'm saying? So he might not have the most discretion, but that was some old master manipulator shit that Tariq did that was kind of smooth to get the cat out of there. That was some real chessboard shit. So again, you never know, man. That, yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. You're not watching Lovecraft yet, huh?
Not yet. I'm starting that this week, because I had a situation where my internet was down. We're going to talk about that. Okay. My internet was down. Okay. So I was watching all this shit on the phone. So that wasn't a real ideal place to crack open a new series.
It was, this particular week, I'm not going to mess on anything. I'm not going to really hit you with no super spoilers or nothing like that, but this particular week, obviously, this was written so long ago, so it's not like they time shit to, you know, tragedy, you know. But even though I did feel like black brutality and tragedy is evergreen, unfortunately, in America. But for the fact of the weak ass indictment that they did on this Breonna Taylor case, this particular episode and certain scenes in it, you know what I mean, where it was like, it was definitely very celebratory of black women and like fully empowered black women, like, you know, nobody to consider, no, not shrinking, you know what I mean, just, you know, letting their full glory shine. And like, whether that's in a beautiful way, whether that's in a violent way, it kind of came across pretty cathartic given the timing, you know. So that, I'll say, that's all I'll say about that. I also started Fargo, the Chris Rock season, or the Chris Rock iteration or whatever.
Is that good? That's so something I should watch.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the first two episodes are up for you to check out. So I think after you see the first two episodes, you'll know where you stand on it. You know what I'm saying?
What network is that?
FX. I mean, I'm a fan of Fargo. I watched all of them, so I'm in. But then, you know, Chris Rock, it's interesting to see Chris Rock in this kind of role, but then there's other people involved. You know what I mean? You got your man Glenn Turman in there. You know what I mean? Jason Schwartzman. There's a ill little like cultural wrinkle that they do amongst these mobs that they do to kind of ingratiate themselves. I don't want to ruin it, but I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know if that's real. I mean, they say everything is based on a real story, so I never seen that type of shit before, but that kind of gives it an ill little wrinkle. And there's a bunch of different little side stories. I think it's worth your time. But before we get off of the TV shit, what I will say, surprise, just to let you know, a nigga started Game of Thrones, right? And I told y'all I was going to watch like 3 episodes to see where it is, right? Nigga, I ate that whole first season already. Like, that shit kind of live up to the hype. I was like, wait a minute. And I only want to go too far because I don't want no spoilers. But, yo, I was like, I found myself because I was definitely side-eyed the shit out of it for a while. I was definitely saying, that's time. Not for me.
It's yeah, like the first season of In the Conversation you've been side.
Man, dude. It's so funny, like when we would shoot in Comedy Knockout, like the writers would put in Game of Thrones references, like in like, you know, in the jokes and shit, and it became a running joke that I didn't watch the show, so I didn't get the references and the jokes. I'm like, all right, that's a Game of Thrones reference. All right, here y'all go. You know, the people would enjoy it, but I was like, I was disconnected. But so far, man, I'm in like 2 episodes into season 2. I'm fucking with it. I'm fucking with it. It's some shit. Like, I'm like, okay. And it's funny too, because it's like, you know, all of these names and people that you heard about, and you're like, oh, that's them. Okay. I see what's going on here. All right. I'm fucking with this one. You know, so yeah, man. I'm watching them Thrones too. Yeah. We'll recap. We'll chop it up again. You know, I might even listen back. I might even listen back to some of your recaps after I get through it.
Yeah, we could bring the Thrones recap back.
Yeah, the retro.
Retro recap.
Yeah, man. But yeah, Young Thrones, man. I could tell you right now, I'm not fucking with your man Joffrey. He's a clown, but I don't even want to go no further. I'm early bird. I'm first, like I told you. Oh, shit. But that's that, man. What else, man? So you want to talk about your cable situation? You got anything else to talk about?
You know what I'm saying? The thing about it is, you know what I'm saying, came in, you know what I'm saying, had a broken fiber on my fiber optic network of the files.
Ooh. Right.
So you can't have a broken fiber, and it's real easy to break them shits. The wires are very thin. It's a digital cable. Right. So I had a broken wire. And we was down, you know what I'm saying? The first available appointment to fix the shit was about 3-4 days, you know what I'm saying? So this might have been Saturday. I'm down. What's this? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Nah, so it had to be like Thursday was down, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So it's like 4.5 days, no internet, right?
Mm.
So
that's tough. COVID.
Yeah, you really start to feel like, God damn, am I dependent on this internet? Because you can't do shit. You can't work. Right. The kids can't go to school. It's all fucked up. So you got these phones and these iPads, the cell service working triple time. You know what I'm saying? Trying to keep up. And you realize, like, God damn, you really took that high-speed internet for granted. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really got us in the pocket. Like, it's a real utility. Like, you can't live without that shit. Or you won't be able to really make the moves that you used to making. And that didn't feel too good. You know what I'm saying? It felt like, shit, man, I'm on crack. And it wasn't even just the searching in the social media. It's like work. Like, nigga got to be on a Zoom call that you running from your phone, you know what I'm saying? So now you're on that bitch with your picture blacked out and people like, hey, what's going on? Ollie, are you working or not? You know what I'm saying? You're like, yeah, I'm out here, man. I'm doing my thing.
Working or lurking.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's really made me start to really look at the internet dependence of my life. And I was like, you know, damn, is that easy? You know how in the movies, in horror movies and shit, and they motherfucker come up to your house, they creep up, you know what I'm saying? You got the crickets going, and then motherfucker cut your telephone wire, then you're done, you can't call help, you know what I'm saying? That's how I felt. Like, God damn, it's that easy, motherfucker cut my internet wire and I'm done. You know what I'm saying? Like, this can't be life.
crippled your style.
Which
yeah,
is,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
It's that crippled your style.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah, you just crippled out here with that without the shit, and it's like, damn, they got us. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no newspaper, ain't no magazine. Right. All that shit that you getting your information from came through that one little fragile ass wire.
Yeah.
Dang.
Ah, shit, it's tough. You gotta watch this documentary called The Social Dilemma. It's not really as broad as the internet, but it's definitely just talking about all of the social media, you know, how dependent people are. Not that you don't know that, but you know, they really dig deep into, like, you know, these are the people behind it all, and you know, how they just how diabolical it is, and how deep it is, how they keep you wrapped up in it. And they should have you. There's times everybody takes it, you know, you try to take a little spell or a little fast from social media, but they should have you looking at your phone like sideways, like, man, this is some bullshit. Cause it is, it's a full on addiction. You know, it's not as stigmatized as other addictions, because there's so many addicts out there. You know what I mean? And you know what I'm saying? It's a cool addiction when you could, you know, post nice photos and shit like that. But it's deep. And so when you know, now that you got your internet back, that's one of the things you might want to check out.
Yeah, I'm back full steam. Yeah. Right up.
Yeah. Speaking of that, back at the trap house, I thought about you. I know you're a LeBron fan. I know you're from Miami. You see the Lakers going against Miami in the finals. Do you have a dog in the race, or are you just happy either way? Do you got any predictions? What you feeling?
I'm
on
fucking
this?
With LeBron, man. I want to see him win one with the Lakers, man. I can't be mad when the Heat win or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna be mad at all. I'm just gonna be like, okay, the crib is represented. I feel like the crib has won already by making it in that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. That's true.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I feel like we won by even getting in the shit. So, but then I feel like LeBron need to get one more as a Laker and prove some points. I think he need two more, really. And he'll be good.
Right. Yeah, it'll be good to see him. You know, I think the storyline, just the LeBron, what is this, his 17th year? You know what I'm saying? Like, just to still be as vital and as effective in his 17th year in the league, still going to the finals. He done went to the finals more than certain teams. You know what I mean? Like, they got him on a list with teams, and he's like fourth under, like, you know, like the big boys. I'm like, shit. It's a cool little subplot that, you know, he's playing up against Spoelstra, who coached him, you know, in the finals. You know what I mean?
And Pat Riley, who was butt hurt when he left.
Okay, well, that
so that's like the big storyline that they kind of pumping.
Big storm. Okay. There's a couple other storylines too. So, well, one, speaking of Spoelstra, I didn't realize he was like the tape guy. He went from tape guy to the head coach. That's a come up. That's fire. So shout out to him. But there's another little messy little storyline. So Kyle Kuzma, his ex is now dealing with the kid Tyler Hero on Miami. So there's that little situation. I don't know, that, you know, that could be a little moment. But the kid Tyler Hero is kind of nice. Right. He's the young white boy who was like mad comfortable out there, crossing up mother, like getting busy on cats on the Black Lives Matter court, just embarrassing niggas. It's kind of interesting. But, you know, I'm thinking that it's going to be competitive, because I feel like the thing is, I think, you know, again, LeBron been in the game for 17 seasons. He has that, you know, he got that drive. He know how to play on this level. He's been there before. But I've seen in these last couple series, you know, like, his supporting cast is hit or miss. You know what I'm saying? AD could fuck around, his re-injure that damn ankle again. But it's always, it kind of seems like, except maybe when like he was with Wade, for the most part, it kind of always still feels like he got, oh, with Kyrie too. We're gonna shout out to Kyrie. But it's like, it feels a little bit like he's carrying them on his shoulders. And I've seen them kind of, they could kind of get tired. Like they could kind of get the lead, but then they could, you know, they can't like keep that shit up. Like against Portland, there was many times where it looked like Portland was going to get with them because Portland was young. And Miami's a pretty young team. So if they, you know, that could be that whole thing. If they get at it, it could be interesting. But you know, that's from my limited basketball knowledge. You know, I tune in just in the playoffs and the finals.
Nah, no doubt.
But there you go.
I think it's gonna be entertaining. I think that LeBron is gonna get another chip. You know what I'm saying? Even though this might be one of them asterisk ass seasons or whatever, even though all his fair is on the court, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't no advantages either way. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to enjoy watching that shit.
You got anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
That's it, man. I enjoy rocking out tonight. It's shit, man. You know? Always a good time.
There it is. Always. Yeah, man. Thanks for listening. You know, always. It's all, you know, appreciate y'all getting to the end of this shit and y'all sticking with it. And, you know, it's always a pleasure. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
Hello. To get in the conversation. We out.